Good morning. Can you hear me?
I can. This is Ian McPike with Ernst & Young. How are you this morning?
I am well. Very, very quickly, let me just see if you guys can hear the property appraiser's office. Can you speak over there?
Hello, testing.
Can you hear that?
I can't.
You cannot.
Hello, hello?
Is there, do you have to turn on the other button?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear now.
That's
yes.
The only one that matters.
Okay, all right. All right, that was the main presenter anyway. So, all right, if you guys are ready, I'll go ahead and put you on the record.
Great.
All right, let me start my recording device. All right, good morning, everyone. It is currently 8:29. We are in Hernando County on November the 30th, and we are hearing petition number 39. Petitioner, please introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, my name is Ian McPike. I work with the firm Ernst & Young, and I'll be representing Vulcan Materials.
Okay, and let me go ahead and get you the spelling of your name, because I do not see it on the package.
Okay, Ian, that's I-A-N, McPike, M-C-P-I-K-E.
All right. Okay, so good morning. And property appraiser's office?
Melissa Cullen.
Kevin Johnston.
Thank you very much. And Stephen Ice from Special Magistrate. Good morning, everyone. Petitioner, have you read the opening comments or the overview of the VAT process? Do you have any questions about how this works?
I do not.
Okay, all right. Okay, so from the petition, I have a parcel ID number noted as P-1980-000509-001. I have a petitioner name noted as Vulcan Materials Company. And please raise your right hand. Do you swear affirm the evidence you're about to give the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Yes.
I do.
I do.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And bear with me one second. Property Appraiser's Office. From the petitioner, I have a package with a few pages of information, authorization, just a handful of pages, and I have a package from the Property Appraiser's Office as well. Was there a proper evidence exchange of these pages?
Of the pages that you have?
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly. Do you have, like, the petition?
I have a petition. I have an agent's authorization form. I have a related license information page. I have, looks like, two pages from your online PRC, one page, your $15 filing fee, and a hearing notice.
That was correct, but as far as actual evidence, no.
Well, that is
and I can explain that.
Well, I mean, that is evidence. It may not be, you know, good evidence in your mind, but it is evidence that the petitioner, who is considered an expert in their own property, is unhappy with the value of the property.
Okay.
So, and feels that it's wrong, hence they're at this particular hearing. Thus, that's limited evidence, but it is actually evidence, because they can also present verbal evidence. So, it's an important point, because with absolutely no evidence at all, and nobody at the hearing, there wouldn't be a hearing.
Right.
It's enough evidence to trigger a hearing.
Okay.
Okay. So, and I have a package from the property appraiser. Did they request your package in writing?
Nope.
Okay. All right. So, with no objection, if there's no objection from either party, both packages are considered admissible. And property appraiser, please. I'm assuming there is no objection from you, Ian.
Correct.
Okay. Property appraiser, please support your assessment.
I do have one question for you, Special Magistrate.
Sure.
Would you want us to try to email them our evidence packet? If they were here, I would typically hand it to them, but since he's on the phone.
Would you like a copy of the property appraiser's evidence packet, Petitioner?
At the conclusion of this, that would be fantastic. Thank
okay.
you.
At the conclusion, you don't have to do it now.
Okay. Okay, the front page of my packet is the exchange of evidence form, followed by a...
Oh, Let's just knock out just assessed and taxable. What page do you have the just assessed and taxable?
Turn to page one. It's the fourth page after the table of contents.
Got it. So I see the just value netted as 1,312,160, assessed and taxable of the same. Petitioner, is that what you also have?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Was there any change after trim?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. Now go ahead and continue.
If you look at page one is my case synopsis.
Yep.
It's for Vulcan Materials with the parcel number of P1980-000509-001. The owner is Vulcan Materials Company Consolidated. It's located at 16313 Ponce de Leon Boulevard in Brooksville.
May I interrupt you one more time?
Yes.
Please let me know if that gets annoying and I can try to adjust my processes. Is this the one I did last time? I did a few years back, do you recall?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
You might be thinking of a different one that's similar.
Maybe. Maybe it is the 10X.
Yeah, I think that's what you're thinking of.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
It's physically located at the southwest of Ponce de Leon Boulevard between Citrus Way and the Suncoast Parkway. This is an industrial cement plant quarry that is currently idle. The date of value is January 1st of 2021. On the second page and third page are aerial photographs. Pages 4 through 8 are photographs of some of the structures on the property. On page 8, you can see that the last time we were given a tour of the facility and equipment was in January of 2017. And please tell me if I go too fast.
You're good.
Okay. On page 9, I have summarized and discussed how we considered the 8 criteria for Florida Statute Section 193.011. If you'll turn to page 10, please.
Yep.
The 8 criteria is also included in Exhibit A. Now, I have considered the 3 approaches to value, which are the sales comparison approach, the cost approach, and the income approach. We considered the sales comparison approach, but we did not complete it due to the lack of adequate comparable sales data. We did utilize a cost approach. The income approach was considered, but we also did not complete one due to the value influences from intangibles. On page 11, I have shown how we have arrived at the assessed value. And in summary, we take the original cost of the equipment, multiplied by an index factor for replacement cost new, and we multiply that by the percent of the depreciation that we consider good to arrive at an assessed value. And we have included a sample DR-405 in Exhibit B. The owner requested an extension to file their return until May 3rd of 2021, and it was filed timely on April 28th of 2021. It included the original cost, year acquired, asset description, and assessed value. The owner's assessed value was based on estimating the assets at salvage value at 8% of original cost. The owner also listed $1,708,460 in disposals. They filed $5,156,019 in total original cost, and due to rounding differences, we arrived at an original cost of $5,156,026.
Okay.
In Exhibit C is the actual DR-405 that they filed. On page 12, you can see that we used the mining and milling equipment index factor, which we have included in Exhibit D. You can also see on page 12 that we have provided the life expectancy guidelines for the Florida DOR life expectancy guidelines and the Marshall Valuation Service life expectancy guidelines, and we utilize these two data sources to determine our life expectancy guidelines.
Okay. Are your chosen life expectancies, do they exceed either the actual number or the ranges for any of these categories that are of question today?
No.
Okay.
On page 13, you can see our actual economic life tables. And for depreciation, we utilize the untrended depreciation schedule supplied by the Florida Department of Revenue, which is included in Exhibit G. After adjusting the original cost by the index factor and applying depreciation, HCPA arrived at an assessed value of $1,312,160 compared to the petitioner's assessed value of $412,827. And as I mentioned, their assessed value is based on multiplying the original cost by an 8% salvage value.
For all of the equipment in their on their analysis?
Yeah, and I can kind of get into that if you want me to, or if you want me to wait.
I'll leave it up to you to decide.
Okay. After deducting the exemption, the taxable value is $1,287,160, which is actually, I just noticed, incorrect on my front page, the taxable value. But it's correct on page 13.
Okay, all right.
Because we deduct $25,000 on every tangible account.
Right.
The tangible personal property record card and the real property record card are included in Exhibits H and I. And in conclusion, we've considered the 8 criteria. We also follow all Florida statutes that are identified in Exhibit L and Florida DOR standards of measure, which are included in Exhibit M. We considered all 3 approaches to value, and we determined that the cost approach provides the most reliable indicator of value for the property. And that is all I have.
Okay.
Sorry. It's okay.
And what tab, or is it the list of items? Sorry, you went maybe quickly on the back part.
Oh, the property record card listing it?
And I don't think she's being microphoned now. I'm not sure if she's being amplified.
Can you hear me?
Yes, there we go.
Okay. So you want the property record card?
A little bit closer to the microphone, a little closer again.
You want the property record card listing each asset?
Yeah. Which tabs are they for the, to do the math?
Exhibit H, which is page 55.
Got it. All right. And your analysis chart, the big Excel chart, I guess it's, I'm not sure if it's Excel or some other, where you list all the items you have all.
This one, I just listed them on the property record card.
Okay, all right. So
which they would be listed the same way as in an Excel.
That's fine. Okay. Okay, yeah, I see it. All right. Okay. All right. And we have the depreciation percentage in the second column from the far right. And, okay. That's good.
That's all I have for now, yes.
Petitioner, please support the chair of recess. What's up? It's you, Petitioner. Ian.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure. Special Magistrate. So we agree with everything Ms. Collin had stated. Our consideration of value, diverts is, once again, she did bring up the fact that this equipment is idle and has sat idle. Approximately 10 years at the 1613 Ponce de Leon Boulevard location. Now, there is a second quarry in which Vulcan material is active. That's at 14556 Ponce de Leon. That is approximately 5 miles away, but does not use or produce any equipment or is associated with any equipment at this 1613 location. All equipment at the 1613 location is currently contracted to a local development company, Cypress Gulf, who uses all equipment at this facility as scrap and parts to assist with any of their production or work. So all the equipment, we provided Ms. Collin pictures showing the equipment specifically related to our classification of idle and request for using the Marshall Swift salvage value of 8%. And it shows overgrowth of vegetation. It shows, the equipment in a distressed,
I'm sorry, you're talking about evidence that I don't have?
The hope was to work out the valuation with Ms. Cullen and Hernando County. These items were provided in hopes of moving this forward. But the equipment itself, it's physically shown to be either used for parts and scrapped. And that is the reason for our consideration or use of the 8% salvage value found from the Marshall Swift Valuation Service Report.
Okay.
Which is considered, a authoritative appraisal guide. And so we have used this on other facilities to where it's been accepted, not within the state of Florida. And that is our request, that it be considered at the 8% valuation ratio or at a minimum put at the floor of the proper schedules in which it's placed.
Okay, well, I mean, my immediate concern is you're talking, one, about parts of the Marshall and Swift guide. I'm not allowed to do independent research, so while occasionally I do reach over and grab and pick up that brown book, me analyzing where it should be, you should produce, if your valuation was based upon cost tables, you should have sent me some support on that. You're pushing the edge of, at some point I'm doing independent research, and that is, it's kind of your job to present your case and present your evidence. Second, your main contention, so that's difficulty one, is that. Difficulty two, you're talking about the condition and use of the actual individual TPP items, and you're making a contention that they're idle and they're used for parts and it's overgrown. I have no evidence on the record of that besides your on the oath, on the record testimony. Have you been to this facility?
I physically have not been there. We did have support from the managers there.
Sure. But you're the one, they're not here today. You're the one under oath, so you're testifying secondhand from somebody else who was not under oath, and you didn't supply the pictures to back that up either. So, while your argument might actually have merit, you don't have a lot of support for the argument, if you follow me.
Correct. It was my understanding that when we submitted the information online that it would be part of this packet, and it seems as if that's not the case.
You have to, and clerk's office, please, they have to submit the evidence to the clerk of the court, correct?
No. The evidence exchanges between the property appraiser and the petitioner.
Okay.
If they wanted to be telephonic, it says right in the procedures, they would have had to mail it through, so they did not do that.
Mailed it through to you or to the property appraiser?
To the clerk's office.
Okay. In the situation of a telephone, and if they came in person, they would have to bring it in person.
Right.
Well, I believe the petitioner is stating that there was an evidence exchange, but he was expecting that the property appraiser would produce that evidence here. So there's a question about the evidence exchange. Property appraiser's office, did you get the pictures and have this discussion that he's talking about?
We did receive a small evidence packet. We did receive photos the day after the deadline, came in separately, and I explained to him that it was after the deadline.
So they came in late.
They came in late. And then, which I can explain a little bit further about our discussions, because I don't want you to think that I just said, no, we're not doing anything, and that was it, because I did have some discussions. And as far as the exchange of evidence, we've always been under the impression that because we send them an evidence exchange, like letter, and gives them direction, so does the clerk's office, that we do not provide it their evidence to the magistrate for them. They have to send it to the clerk when they are on the phone.
And that's in writing?
The clerk gives them that information.
So it is in writing on there? Yeah. Okay, so I won't spend the time to go read it. Both the clerk's office and the property appraiser is stating that in the paperwork here in writing that you guys received, It states that you have to provide the evidence at the actual hearing, both whether it's telephonic or not. And thus, I'm assuming the property appraiser is not presenting their evidence to me? You're not giving me their pictures?
No, sir.
Okay, so, I mean, I'll look it over more carefully later, petitioner, but, I mean, it's, all of the public authority folks here are stating that it is clearly stated in your information exchange information that you have to provide the copies. So therein lies your problem. There was some confusion.
Sure.
Sorry about that. I'm not in charge of that aspect of the process. I just weigh the evidence when it comes to me.
Absolutely.
I would imagine that the property appraiser is going to talk about this argument, the salvage, and rebuttal. So we're going to have some more discussion on that. While it's still your turn to present, is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I am.
Do you have a petitioner estimate of value, a specific one? You don't have to, but do you have one? I believe it was 412 and change.
Yeah, $412,824 with the 8% salvage value applied.
Okay. All right. All right. So we'll get back to you. If that's all of your evidence to present, property appraiser rebuttal. Do you want to talk about the salvage and all that?
Yes. So I had a telephone conversation with someone in Ian's office, and I apologize, I can't remember the gentleman's name because Ian was on a plane. I also spoke with Ian several times through email and on the phone. One thing they said when they submitted their evidence and through all the emails is that the owner is selling all the equipment as scrap. So what I said to him is this: I want, and the gentleman I also spoke to on the phone, I want a timeline. I want to know for each piece of equipment, what's being sold as scrap, when it's being sold, who's getting it, are they making any money from, we wanted to know that so that if in fact, you know, all of this is happening immediately, then we could take that into consideration.
Have you guys gone out to see the props, to see the equipment?
No, sir.
Okay. When was the last time?
Set 2017.
17, okay, all right.
So, I received this email from Mr. McPike, and it said, I was able to discuss with the client your questions which arose when discussing the idle equipment at Ponce de Leon. You had requested additional information regarding Vulcan's intention to scrap the equipment and the timeline to do so. Based on the conversation with the client, the old and rusted iron equipment has been sold to a local contractor development company, Cypress Gulf. According to client management, the development company comes onto the site and removes the scrap equipment as they need it. Or, if there is downtime for their manpower, they may send in a crew to cut up and remove the equipment. Any remaining equipment pieces Vulcan retains are slated to be moved to the Bahamas quarry. The equipment reported for 2021 has no useful purpose for future production and is used strictly as salvage materials. We feel that the Marshall and Swift salvage value table for mining properly reflects the appropriate value of this equipment. I wrote him back and basically said thanks for getting back to me, but I was hoping for some actual information because I'm hearing that some of it went to a company and then some of it's being moved to the Bahamas. So I
didn't get what I needed.
You have
very partial information with no detail. So pictures, I know you're not giving them to me and obviously that's up to you. But what do they show? Do they show just a handful of pieces of equipment? Do they show the majority of the equipment?
I received 4 photographs. Okay. And the equipment does look like it's in fair condition, and there is some overgrowth around it. However, when I went out there to CMEX in 2017, do you recall when we went out after that?
Well, this one's Vulcan.
Well, we had gone out to CMEX, like they're all kind of on the same property.
That's what I thought. When I saw the over, that's like I recognized that section of land. Okay.
And we went out there later on for a third entity that was out on those sites after 2017. I will say that all their equipment just, it looks used. I mean, they're producing, you know, their cement plants. So even though he's saying that, you know, it's in poor shape, this and that, if it was in that bad a shape, why would they be moving it to another quarry, and how would they be selling off pieces, parts, and equipment to this other company that he mentioned? So that's all my concern.
I mean, all of that is possible, but okay. I understand your concern. Okay. Anything else? So from looking at those four pictures,
mm-hmm.
What percentage of the TPP do you think is shown in those four pictures?
I don't understand what do you mean?
Well, I don't know if we're dealing with 500 pieces of equipment or five pieces of equipment. So you have four pictures. They could either be showing you
four pieces of equipment.
So out of hundreds?
Yes.
Okay. From a value standpoint, they're not showing you like the four most valuable pieces?
I don't believe so.
Because you're
not identified, so.
Yeah. I mean, you got $1.3 million in change of value. They're not showing you $1 million of equipment in that picture, those four pictures?
It's hard to determine what these particular pieces of equipment are.
Okay.
Some of them are taken from a very long distance. Some of them are up close, but it is, you know, it's just difficult to determine exactly which pieces these are because they were not identified as part of the filing.
Right. Okay, I'm just looking at your total list here. It does look like there is a primary foundation you got as one of the larger items. And what is that? The primary foundation? Is that the foundation under the plant? Is that like real estate, sort of? Like how they?
Yeah.
That's how they fix it to the ground?
Yeah, that's what that's what it seems like, yes.
Petitioner, you said this has not been operated in a decade at this location?
The last equipment that was purchased was in 2012. That was a loader, and I should have specified in that email that the equipment stated to go to the quarries are the loader and the mobile equipment, not the...
Well, I mean, I hesitate. I mean, once again, you are the tax representative. I'm assuming
Correct.
You're the tax
Correct.
Representative or the accountant for the firm?
Correct.
Right, so...
So,
you're under oath.
Yes.
I mean, I guess I'm a little concerned that, you know, you're giving your idea of management's operations.
This is the information provided, and you are correct. Based on my knowledge of it, the per the information provided by the client, they have not been in operations since 2012 when they had their last acquisition.
If they had an acquisition, they were probably working after 2012
correct.
Because they're unlikely to buy in the year they're going to shut down. But property appraiser,
which
do you know if this facility is operational or when it was last? You don't think it is?
No, I know it's not operational.
Okay, all right.
Don't know when it ceased, though, but it's been several years, as the petitioner stated.
Okay. And they were producing what? Cement here?
That Hernando County Cemex has two cement plants. This we've referred to as the North Plant, and the Vulcan is the quarry that supplied that North Plant.
Okay.
The North Plant had shut down during the economic downturn or somewhere in that general vicinity.
Okay.
They do have a newer South Plant that is up and running and also has a quarry that supplies that plant.
Okay. I guess what I'm looking at is the foundation. If they've really shut down for 10 years, maybe the foundation really is scrap. If there's no likelihood that they're going to go up and running again at this location, what use is that poured concrete? Yeah, they can't pick up and sell the poured concrete and move it. So that's my, you know, the rest of his argument, really he needs more data for, I think. But if you know, your own testimony is showing that the plant is shut down, if there is no realistic likelihood of it opening up again, and frankly, a new plant, a 10 or 15 year newer plant might require a different foundation or a newer foundation, or rapport, or they set it next to it so that it's, they know it's, you know, done correctly. So I guess there may be an argument for the foundation. Do you see any likelihood that that's going to get up and running again here?
Do you know?
Yeah, the actual north plan, I believe, is the subject of another petition this afternoon, later this morning. But I do know, I can say that several years ago we had litigation on that north cement plant.
Right.
And part of that litigation and the settlement value, and I'm not testifying for the next one, but mm-hmm. we put startup costs back in case they did decide to start it back up. That was provided to us at that time by representatives from CIMEX, that it's possible that it would start back up, that they don't have any current plans. Each year, I get production.
But this one is there, and this plant is their source of raw materials for the other plant.
This Vulcan plant is the source of the raw material for the North Cement plant, which
right.
we'll be discussing in another petition.
Right.
Each year I request from CIMEX representatives a production data from them.
Right.
We use that for whether any utility adjustments need to be made based on the production. And as always, part of that email chain that we have going on with CIMEX is they say we have no current plans to restart the North plant. So it remains what they call mothballed at this point. They don't say they're not going to start. They just say they have no current plans to do so. Not that it couldn't be with another investment doing so, but again, as each year goes on, perhaps that may become less and less feasible to do so.
All right. Okay. Any other rebuttal?
No.
Petitioner?
No.
All right. I guess while I'm here, let me look at that. Is there anything else that's on the list that I want to ask about? Because I do think that the foundation part is questionable given the length of mothballing. Okay, all right. So, a petitioner, I'm sure you could tell by my questions, your biggest difficulty is the lack of significant evidence submitted to support your contention. I certainly have I'll keep my eyes, my mind open to the concept of the foundation being of lesser value and less likelihood of being able to be repositioned, and certainly it can't be resold and moved somewhere else. So if there's no further comments from anyone?
No.
Thank you very much, everyone. I'm going to go over the information in greater detail and make my determination at that time. That concludes petition 39. Thank you, Ian. Ian, are you presenting for the next one as well?
I am not. I'm not aware of that petition.
Okay. All right.
So,
thank you, Ian.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.